Matthew 18. This is a very familiar scripture. Very familiar passage of scripture. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 21 and 22 to get us started today. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right. The text says that then Peter came up and said to him being Jesus, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I still forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Let's pray. And before we do pray, I want our church, our congregation to be in prayer for the Brown family today. As was mentioned earlier, I woke up to a text this morning at 5:45 a.m. Chris Brown transitioned to be with God in heaven. And so if you know Chris, you know that Chris was a man of God. Chris loved Jesus Christ, and you couldn't be in Chris's presence for more than 5 minutes to know that Chris Brown was a believer. And so we know where Chris is, and even though I'm sad, and I know that you are as well, we have to know that Chris is no longer suffering. And so Chris is with God. So let's keep the family in prayer. I'll keep everyone updated. I believe the service will be held here. So just stay tuned, watch your emails, watch on Facebook, and we'll keep you guys posted. Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. We come to you, God, with broken hearts, God. But God, we know, God, that we have hope, God. And we know, God, that when believers pass away, God, and come be with you, that we know where they are, God. And so it's a celebration, God. And I pray, God, that you move us toward that, God, to celebrate, God, the life that Chris has, God, and the life that he spent here on this earth. And so, God, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand here today, God, and to proclaim your word. I pray, God, that this word today falls on the good soil of our heart, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our heart, God. Why? Because, God, today's discipline that we're going to talk about, God, it is crucial for the believers. And so, God, I just pray that you use me for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. God, what I'm basically asking you to do, God, is wear me like a glove. God, here I stand, your servant, ready to proclaim your word to these, your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things that I've discovered since we're in this red letter challenge, as we're going through these disciplines of being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going, as we're going through these spiritual disciplines, one of the things that I've discovered is that one of the most difficult ones is the spiritual discipline to forgive. Forgiveness is really, really hard for some people. But there are some people that I've discovered during this red letter challenge that forgiveness comes easy. And I thank God for those of you who forgiveness comes easy, because I myself, as I have stood here before you all and have been very transparent and told you all that I really struggle with forgiveness. And I'm open and transparent because I hope that you can be open and transparent, because I know that forgiveness is really, really difficult. And so as we're in this red letter challenge, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what Jesus says about forgiveness. And can I tell you, Jesus has a lot to say about forgiveness. Why? Because I'm going to tell you this now, and I'm going to prove this in the text today. I'm going to walk you through it. We as believers, we who have been forgiven much, are commanded to forgive much. Amen. Everybody wants forgiveness, but very few people want to give forgiveness. And I myself have been one of the biggest hoarders of forgiveness. And so if you look at the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, Jesus has just finished sharing with his disciples about forgiving offense. If you jump down to verse 15, we'll see that if your brother has offended you, Jesus is giving the disciples clear instructions on being offended. And then when you come on down to verse 19, he says, again, I say to you, if any two of you agree on earth about anything that you may ask, it shall be done for you. So Jesus is walking his disciples through the power of being in agreement. And then we come to our text in verse 21. And so what I want you to do today is walk along with me as we listen in on this conversation with Jesus and his disciples about forgiveness. Listen into this conversation. It says in verse 21, it says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I still forgive him? He says, up to seven times. And see, the reason that Peter uses seven is a very sacred number in the scriptures. Seven has a very deep meaning. And Peter thought that he was really, really doing something great in anticipating on what Jesus was going to say about forgiveness. But how many of us know that the Bible teaches us that our ways are not God's ways? Amen. That what he thinks far outweighs what we think. The Bible teaches us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. And so he really thought he was doing something, but check out what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times. Actually, if I could get kind of street with it, if I could get kind of, 2022 with it, Jesus would have probably responded like this, that's cute, but that's not my standard. If I could continue to be street, he would probably say something to Peter like this, Peter, you tried it. For some of y'all, I may have to interpret that later, but anyway. So he says up to seven. He says up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And so here's my first point as I'm on my way, as we study this red letter challenge. What is Jesus' definition of forgiveness? Jesus' definition of forgiveness is you forgive as many times that's needed. There's not a number on the amount of times that if the same person does the same thing over and over again, Jesus says that we are to forgive them every single time. I don't know about you, but that's really difficult for me. Because, you know, at times I can be very sensitive at times. Sometimes I can be easily offended. And so, Jesus, what you're telling me and what you're telling us is that no matter how many times the way you define forgiveness is as much as required. And so as we're going through this today, I really want you to search yourself like I've been searching myself. Because as I looked at these disciplines that we are going to study in this red letter challenge, and I saw forgiving coming up, I was like, Aleem Bakari, how are you going to stand in God's holy place and preach a sermon on forgiveness when you know within your heart that you're harboring unforgiveness? And so for many of you that don't know, me and my father, we have this thing going on. Somebody's gonna catch that in a second. We have this thing going on between me and my dad, and I thought I had forgiven my dad. I really did. I really did. I really thought that I had forgiven him. And so about 3 years ago, my dad had a stroke. And my dad is such, my dad is the, so strong that he had a stroke and drove himself to the hospital, right up to the emergency room, and just conked out right there. I go to see him. As he's there, he's recovering, going through rehab. We're sitting in the hospital room. It's me, my wife, my sister. And so he's talking. And so the stroke didn't affect him physically at all. It just took his memory. And so now he can remember some things he can, and so he just talks. And so we're there in the room, and he says, "Yeah, my son, he's the stupid one. And he's just stupid." I'm sitting there. Trying to not show any kind of emotion. But I made it up in my mind that was the last time that he would ever see me again. And so for the last 3 years, as my dad is suffering with a stroke, I have not went to see him. We've talked on the phone, but I would not forgive him. And so the other day I was scrolling through Facebook, and And Will Smith said something that really just pierced me. Because his dad, they have a thing going on, and his dad beat his mom, and he was harboring unforgiveness. And Will Smith said this. He says, "I can no longer punish you for your past mistakes." And when he said that, it just did something to me. So I picked up the phone, called my dad, and I asked him to forgive me. And he was like, "Son, you know I love you. You know I've always loved you." And what my dad didn't understand is that all of my life, even though he wasn't there, he would come around sporadically. He was my hero. And I love this man so much. And so I just wanted for you all to know that there was no way that I was going to stand here and preach a sermon on forgiveness and not forgive my dad. Because for a preacher, for a pastor, the sermon has to first affect you before it can affect anyone else. And I'm telling you all this, that this sermon is really affecting me, and I really hope it affects you. Because some of us can get so caught up in doing for God that we're not spending time with God, and then we're also not doing what God has commanded us to do, and we are commanded to forgive 70 times 7. No matter how much it hurts, no matter what they did, no matter what color they are, no matter what party that they're in, God says that we are to forgive. So if you continue on in this story, verse 23, Jesus goes on this. He begins to tell Peter this story. He says, "Peter, the kingdom of heaven is like." And if you stop right there, that's a very powerful thing that Jesus just said. He says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like." And so what Jesus is doing is he's setting the standard for us that if we are kingdom people, if we are kingdom followers of God, Jesus says, here's the criteria. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. He says, it's like a king that had a servant. It says, it's like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents. Please underline that and highlight that. One that owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his master commanded that he be sold along with his wife and children and all that they had, and repayment be made. And as I read this, I think about when I was in the Navy, I had a chance to go to a place called Constanta, Romania. And in Constanta, Romania, this was still going on in 1983, where if the husband got into debt, the wife had to go to a concentration camp and work off the debt. He says, so the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will repay you everything." And the master of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him of debt. You see, here's the part. Forgiveness doesn't seem fair until you need some. Amen. Forgiveness does never seem fair until you are in need of forgiveness. But here's the thing. Remember this 10,000 talents. I'm going to keep on in this story. But before I do that, what verses 23 through 27 shows us, though, it shows us this. It shows us that we are the biggest benefactors of forgiveness. We are the biggest benefit. We are that slave that owed the king 10,000 talents. That's us in this story. We are the biggest benefactors of forgiveness. But let's keep on in this story. Verse 28. But that slave went out and found his fellow slaves who owed him, underline this, 100 denarii. Somebody's going to see where I'm going with this. 10,000 talents versus 100 denarii. He says, and he seized him, and he began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me. Isn't that just like some of us? God has forgiven us of so much. We are the biggest benefactors of God's grace. But once anybody does anything to us or somebody owes us something, we want to denounce them. We want to choke them. We want to shoot them. We want to do whatever it can. Can you believe he did that to me? We want to go tell everyone. He says, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him. Does that sound familiar? Have patience with me. I will repay you. Look at verse 30. It says, but he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he would pay back what was owed. Can I just ask you a question? Do you have forgiveness amnesia? Forgiveness amnesia. Because we just sang a song about how Christ has won the victory for us. Christ has given us, Christ died on a cross, but before he even died on a cross, they pierced him in his hands. Before they pierced him in his hands, he was beaten. Almost unrecognizable. Why? So that he could forgive us. So that he could take on our sins. Could it be that this is why the Bible tells us to pick up our cross and follow him? Daily. But we want to live in a council culture. For some reason, I have a hard time saying. I can't even say council culture. See, it just doesn't even flow out of me. We want to look and dig into everyone, but we don't want anybody looking to and digging into us. Do you remember that time in 2004 when you did this? Do you remember when you stood up at this event and you said this? In 1965? But you want God to forgive you, but you want to dig up all of the stuff on me. Where is that? Verse 31 says, so when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that had happened. Then summoning him, his master said to him, underline this, you wicked slave, I forgave you of all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And see, here's the tension in all of this. We want forgiveness, but we don't want to forgive. And I told you to underline the 10,000 talents versus the 100 denarii. Here's the picture that Jesus is painting. The 10,000 talent, actually, one talent was 6,000 denarii. Just one talent was 6,000 denarii. He forgave him of 10,000 talents. That's like 660,000 denarii. Jesus is painting this picture to let him know what forgiveness is like and what forgiveness is like in the kingdom and what is required. Because here's the thing. What Jesus done for us far outweighs what anyone can do to us. That's the picture that he's painting there is that I've forgiven you of all of this. And you mean a person does something to you and you can't forgive them? You can't forgive your dad that was part of the process to bring you into this world? But see, I'm probably no different than anyone else, but I said, but God, you don't know how many days I was in school crying because all of my other friends had fathers and my father was not around. Jesus, I can't forget the days that I would sit in class and lie to my classmates to tell them that my father owned a construction company, that he was this big guy that had this construction company, and I ain't even seen him. But God, you don't you know that hurt? That I'm still hurting from it now? And here's the part that some of us, we must understand this. After I really thought about this, I said, man, here I am almost 60 years old harboring unforgiveness for something that was done to me as a kid. Does that make sense? I mean, almost 50 years ago. But here I am. The biggest benefactor of God's forgiveness. The 10,000 talent guy. I'm that guy. And my dad is the denarii guy. And I can't forgive him. And so as we go through this red letter challenge, I really want us to understand that what Jesus has done for us far outweighs what anybody can do to us. I like what it says in Colossians 3 and 13. It says, make allowances for each other's faults. Man, if we could just grasp this concept. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive, catch this, anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And so, as the story goes on, the slave who would not forgive, the servant who would not forgive, verse 33 says this, should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his master was moved to anger and handed him over to the torturers until he would repay all that was owed to him. But look at what verse 35 says. It says, my heavenly Father also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother. I like this last part, from your heart. See, it's easy to say that you've forgiven somebody, but have you forgiven them from your heart? And I know that there's someone here today, you're harboring unforgiveness for someone, something that you think was done to you that was just so unjust, that was just so unfair. And I know you have sold yourself on this, that there is no way I could ever forgive him. There's no way I could ever forgive her. There's no way I could ever forgive them. Yeah, this message sounds good, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how this affected me as a child. You don't know. I'm still on depression pills right now because of this, because every time I think about it, I go into a depressed state. Can I share this with you? There's freedom in forgiveness. There is such a freedom in forgiveness. And so as we go through this one this week on forgiving, and as the praise team comes back up, just know this, and I know I've said it over and over again, but I'm going to continue to say it. As believers, we are the biggest recipients of God's grace. I'm going to say it again. As believers, we are the biggest recipients of God's grace. But there's a comma there, not it doesn't stop there. Because we're the biggest recipients of God's grace, therefore we should be the biggest givers of God's grace. And so I don't know who this message is for today, but if it's you, as we bow our heads to pray, I want you to really take time to ask God right there. Or if you feel like you want to come up here to this altar as a sign of your sincerity with God, that God, when I come back from this altar, God, I have forgiven whoever, whatever it is, God. And God, I want you to give me the strength to move forward. And so if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, God, I just pray today, God, that as we are here today, God, going through these spiritual disciplines, God, and coming up to this very difficult one, God, of forgiveness. And God, I do recognize there are people in this audience today that might hear this, God. Forgiveness really comes easy for them. And so, God, I pray if that's you, that if forgiveness comes easy, I pray that you pray for us and help us understand how forgiveness can be so easy for you. And I pray that it opens up conversations that the Holy Spirit begins to inhabit that as we walk through this discipline of forgiveness, God, that we can bear one another's burdens in this area of forgiveness. And so, God, I pray that you touch hearts today. God, because I know from experience that harboring unforgiveness is heavy. And so, God, I thank you for the freedom that I now have. And God, I know that others want to be free as well. And so, God, as our hearts are open, God, as you begin to play back in our minds, God, people that we may have even forgotten that we haven't forgiven. But God, when we see their face on Facebook or Instagram, God, or somebody mentions their name, God, we just begin to cringe. God, it's that person right there, God, that I want you to deal with our hearts on them, God. For some of us, God, it's family. For some of it, it's friends. Some of it, it's employers. Some of it, God, it's political parties, God. God, I just pray that you do what you do. And remember to bring to our remembrance, God, that you forgave us far much. So how can we not forgive others? I pray that it's embedded in our heart that forgiveness is for everyone. So God, I just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.